Have I ever told you how much I hate sitting in traffic? Well, I hate sitting in traffic. But anyway, that's where I've been, sitting in traffic on 64 Brevard Academy. Yeah, they've had it shut down, and I had to wait for two turns, and they shut everything down. So I'm not sure what they was doing on. So I guess we were there at least 10 minutes, maybe a little longer. Didn't have it to spare. I was cutting it close anyway. So glad to have you on board. Sorry I'm late. Anyway, we appreciate the goodness of the Lord and glad to have you with us here on a Wednesday afternoon. And we do appreciate all of God's goodness and grace, and thank the Lord for His ongoing mercy. And I'll tell you about some of that coming up here in just a little bit. All right. 577-1296, 577-1296. Put you in touch with us on the text line, 828-884-9427. Put you in touch with us on the voice line, and we're glad to have you this afternoon. Thank you so much for being on board. Let's talk about traffic. Oh my goodness, we're in the same boat we were yesterday. I-26 westbound. I think they have it down to one lane possibly because it's the same thing we had yesterday. We have traffic that is, well, I said that. There's actually a wreck, but it's on the wrong side. Well, yeah, I think it's construction. It's from the parkway. If you're going west from the parkway back past 146, and then it starts getting really slow. It's just rolling traffic past the airport all the way down to the Fletcher exit. Yeah, now this is not, you know, the shutdown. This is not the lane closure or anything. That occurs tonight for this same stretch of traffic, but it's the other direction. So anyway, it is a long wait this afternoon. Your best bet is to go through up 25. If you're going points north toward Asheville, 25 is your best bet. A lot of stoplights, but it's still your best bet. 25A, not too good a choice today. 25's not a good choice coming out of Asheville, but it is going back toward Asheville. Okay, so you'd be good if you're heading up going toward Asheville. Also this afternoon, 191's really feeling it. 191 is backed up probably as far as I've seen it lately, all the way up there to the church, and this is coming toward Hendersonville, and it is crawling from Bent Creek Church all the way to Clayton Road. And then if you go on the other way, it is crawling from just where, let's see here, what is the name of that road? Ledbetter, where Ledbetter Road comes in that little straight where Ledbetter comes in, north on 191, starting right in there, this thing is just about stopped, and it's that way, all the way up past the Methodist Church and to the stoplight. Yeah, and then it's almost bumper to bumper from the stoplight, all the way through and all the way to the Bent Creek Park there at the stoplight at the Arboretum. That's a bad 191. That's as bad as I've seen it on a weekday lately. So 112's good, so the cut-through's fine. You're fine there, but you got a lot of other problems. Okay, so let's call them out. We have a wreck on I-40 eastbound. It is affecting traffic badly back over exit 44, back toward 43, and over Smoker Park Highway, and it is down to just a crawl through there. It will pick up the closer you get to I-26, but then get on the brakes if you're going to get on I-26 eastbound because the junction is clogged pretty bad this afternoon. It won't take you long, but it is clogged, okay? And then once you get up to 191, it slows back down, and there is a wreck I-26 eastbound. This is between the river. It's actually in the straight just beyond the river. And then it is from there, it is continued slow till you get up to the parkway. It will pick up, and then here we go back on the brakes again, slow down by Lake Julian, and then once you get past the airport, you're free to go, okay? I-40 is backed up westbound from Biltmore exit, Highway 25, all the way through Biltmore Forest, all the way to the farmer's market. And I guess they're working on that. I they're not telling me what they're doing. But anyway, it was partly like that yesterday, but it's much worse today. So anyway, all right, let's look at town. Oh, goodness. If you want to go somewhere fast, probably, yeah, it's not going to happen today. We are backed up today all the way to Woodfin. This is 26 coming eastbound down to into town. All the way back to Woodfin, there is a wreck on U.S. 19 south, U.S. 23 south, U.S. 74 alternate west, which is right near, it's right in the intersection at Sam's. And I think now there's two wrecks right in there. And it looks like it's got that all backed up, all the way up past UNCA, all the way into Woodfin, and it looks like it's just about stopped up there. If you're in Asheville, in town, the traffic, I don't know what's going on. It looks like Christmas Eve or something, or the day before Thanksgiving. All the way out to the 70, where 70 goes under, or the exchange there at the mall, where 70 and 240 intersect. From there, all the way up through the Bowcatcher Cut, all the way around by the Civic Center, all the way down almost into the Cloverleaf before you start up the river. All of that is slow this afternoon in downtown Asheville. As you're leaving Asheville, around the Asheville Mall, where 70, where 81, the River Road comes under, yeah, South Tunnel Road, right through that section, you're slow going out of town to the east. If you're on 25, you're backed up this afternoon to almost to the interstate, and it's going to be like that bumper to bumper down past the parkway. You will not get any relief till you get down to Overlook Road and, of course, Mills Gap Road. 25, you're not quite as bad backed up. It's well under the parkway down to Mills Gap. And then coming the other direction, you are backed up. I'm trying to get a landmark to tell you where it's at. Royal Pines Drive, Cedar Lane. Jake Rusher Park. I know where that's at. Yeah, anyway, that's where it's backed up to. That's a pretty good ways back. Trying to get on Mills Gap. So, yeah, I know it. Well, when the interstate clogs, then this is what happens. Well, that seems to be the worst of it. But wait, there's more. I-26. Yeah, I-26, it's not far back as it was yesterday. It's right in there around Puzzle Gully. And somebody said, is that really a place? And yes, it is. Puzzle Gully Road comes under. Old Howard Gap Road runs parallel to 26. And down near Saluda. And Puzzle Gully comes under the interstate and goes back over in there. I used to read meters back in there. And it's backed up to there. And it will be backed up. I think they've opened it back up, but all the way to the Green River Bridge, you're off the pace this afternoon. And that's going to be a daily occurrence for the next 3 years. So, yeah, look forward to that. Look at this. Even Big Pisgah Forest is showing up on the map this afternoon. I told the guys, I bet you it's backed up to the red light. And it was. Yep, there at Bavard Academy, upper and lower Glade Creek, they're widening the road right there. They're paving this afternoon. And they had it at one point backed all the way up into the intersection at 64, 280, and 276. Also, they're paving in Toxaway, and they're putting shoulders on 64 in Toxaway, and it has got everything slowed down, and really slow. In, let's see where I can tell you. It's today, it would be to the west of the dollar store. It would be in there next to the big curves, if you know what I'm talking about, before you get to Hogback Lake. If you're coming eastbound, that is almost stopped in the big curve right past Hogback Lake. Eastbound is just about completely stopped right there, and there's about 3 or 4 miles of very slow. Go on the other direction, it slows down in there around Whitetail Drive, where Rock Creek comes under 64, and it'll be slow, but not as slow, till you get to the big curve. And then there's also a very slow patch right in front of. They're working right there around the Brook Trout Inn and Dollar General, the entrance to Burlingame. Yeah, it's all right in that section that it's very slow. Well, they've paved all that, and now they're putting shoulders on it. And so it has, yeah, and then they're also, well, I don't think that's road construction. I think it's just traffic. There's traffic backed up on 64 westbound at the intersection with 107 in Cashers. Yeah. Whew. Yeah, that's traffic. And that's just North Carolina, okay? Now, what's in South Carolina? I dread to see. Well, actually, they're not doing too bad today. It's about like usual on 85 north and south of Pelham. It's slow this afternoon. Some congestion on the northbound side down at 281 on 85, and then the merge of 185 and 85 off the pace a little bit. But other than that, Greenville is halfway behaving themselves this afternoon, so that's a good thing. All right, well, I'm glad to be done with that. That's tiring. All right, let's see if we can get what's going on. We are at 71 degrees here at the studio, and I declare I believe our thermometer's off, because Asheville said at 4:54 they had 78. 3 degrees, maybe. But that many degrees? I doubt it. Yeah, that's a little much. Let's drop down to Greer and see what they've got. So if Asheville, if GSP has 78, KAVL, Asheville, has 78, then GSP, KGSP, has, same time stamp, 82. And we're 11 off of that at 71. So that doesn't, yeah, that does not, yeah, it seems like it's a little off, but I don't know what the difference is. It's a, our thermometer is, it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the National Weather Service and the National Climatic Data Center. And I don't know exactly, they're related, but I don't know who owns it, but they own it, maintain it, all that stuff. So we work for them when we give official readings. We're doing it on their behalf. All right, so let me tell you that I'm looking to see what's coming up here. And, wow, I didn't think we could get two dry streaks in a row, but we did. Oh, yeah. And other than Saturday, I'm still watching Saturday as that front comes through. We'll transition from 79 degrees on Friday to about 70 on Saturday to a high of 62 on Sunday. But here's the breaking news. Saturday night, once the front passes, our low drops to 40, which will be the low for the year thus far, the season rather, for the season. And we're going to have that Saturday night, and it'll moderate by Monday night, 43. But we don't even see 70 next week. Not in the forecast. There's not a 70-degree reading in the forecast, but I'm only seeing through Wednesday. But still, that's an answer to prayer, and I'll tell you why coming up here in just a minute. The 13th day of October, AM 720, sponsored by the Whitewater Baptist Church in honor of their pastor and his wife, Bradley and Susan Chapel. The church appreciates their faithfulness to the ministry. And so we say we appreciate so very much the Whitewater Baptist Church standing with us here at Anchor Broadcasting. God bless you. Also appreciate Bradley and Susan Chapel a great deal. God bless you. The 94.9 and the Anchor Broadcasting Network being sponsored by the New Life Church in honor of their pastor, Wayne Metzger. They're thankful for him and blessed to have a pastor who follows God's leadership. And we appreciate very much the New Life Church and their pastor, Wayne Metzger, today. God bless you. Thank you so very much. Let's go back and do an update on traffic again. We're trying to get you some ways around some places, so let me see if we can figure out what we got, okay? So 191 into Asheville at Avers Creek. I'm right in the end. Okay, just it's off the pace. Okay, so what we're showing is that it is running. We basically there's four groups that we give it. There's green, yellow, red, and then burgundy. And I'm showing that 191 is the ladder, burgundy. And it's burgundy all the way just beyond 146. And it will continue that till you get up to Clayton Road. And then from there, it'll turn back red. And you'll be in the red until you get under the parkway. And then it turns green from there up to the intersection. Okay? If that helps any. That's what we're showing. Doesn't mean that's what you're getting, but that means what we're showing. Okay? Appreciate that. All right, let me quickly do a roll call and see who in all is with us this afternoon. Ann Arbor, Arden, Augusta, Blue Ridge, Brevard, Cambridge, Englewood, Fort Mill, Grassy Creek, Greenville, Greer, Hendersonville, Hope Mills, Joplin, Lexington, Los Angeles, Madison, Menomonee, Falls, Miami, Nassau, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, Plymouth, Raleigh, Richardson, Ridgeland, San Diego, Springdale, Silva, unknown United Kingdom, an unknown Europe, another unknown United Kingdom, and Weaverville. We know Weaverville, and that's the way it alphabetized them this afternoon. Okay, glad to have you with us. Let's look here. So far, we've got Kathy and Ricky, and so representing Mills River and Canada, Joseph, and appreciate Joseph. Thank you for the kind words. Frank from Alabama, Gary from Valley Hill, Crickets with us, Jeff, and Jeff said, he said he started dispatching in 1983 under Sheriff Ab Jackson. He asked me, he said, if I knew where Puzzle Gully was, and I told him. Sheriff Ab said, I passed the Henderson County geography test. If you know Puzzle Gully, you know the back roads. Now, that's for sure. I cheat. I was a meter reader in Henderson County in 1979. So, yeah, I cheated. And so, yeah, I knew Ever Road. I mean, I knew every house on Ever Road back in the day. So, anyway, good to have Pakistan with us this afternoon. It's morning there, early morning, by the way. And Ann is watching, and Johnny down in Greenville. Glad to have all of you with us. We appreciate that very, very much. 8898, yeah, just set through Toxway paint and shoulder work now in Cashers. Yeah, they're going to have to go there and build those shoulder tops. Notice I was up there yesterday how deep they did what they call wedging. And some of that asphalt's a foot thick in places. Of course, it needed it. But now you got to fill that in. And the question is there enough room to get that kind of a curb on there, got kind of a shoulder on there between there and the ditch? And just don't appear to me that it is. But anyway, that's what... All right. Well, again, we appreciate you being with us this afternoon. Appreciate the mercy of the Lord and appreciate all of God's goodness and grace to us. Let me see if I can just share a couple of things with you. We're talking about blessings. I mean, just some real blessings. We were blessed yesterday to be able to supply the bridge materials for an 80-year-old man up in Balsam Grove, and no benevolence of ours. We just did the work from the neck down, you know, the grunt work, and so got that done. That's exciting. But I wanted to share this, and I was going to wait till today to do it. We've been working on this since, well, it's cold weather, so probably February or March, possibly, something like that. So let me just start from the beginning. I got a call to come to Sapphire, back in on Whitewater, to the Presbyterian camp, the former Presbyterian camp called Camp Buck. I didn't know where it was. I'd never been in there. And it's on Upper Whitewater Road, by the way. So we made our way back in there, and some listeners of the station, some friends, were working up there. and they said, could you use this walk-in cooler behind this big building? Well, I looked at it. It looked very nice, looked almost new. And so they said, well, the owner is coming. And I said, owner? They said, yeah, there's a gentleman that has bought this property. And he's fixing, you know, it's turning all this as a private residence and place back in here. So he came up and we met, and he was a very cordial individual. And we talked a minute. He said, preacher, can you use that cooler? I said, we sure can. He said, well, it's yours. He said, come in here. Walked in the back room that the building was attached to, and it's full of stainless steel stove and hood and all this other stuff. He said, could you use any of this? I said, we sure could. He said, well, it's yours. I said, well, praise God. That's wonderful. He said, have you been in the building? I said, no, sir. We ran around and we walked into this great big building. It was the dining hall at Camp Buck, built in 2001. Exposed beams, about a 30-foot roof, something like that. It's about 70, the main section is 70-something feet long and about 40-something feet wide, about almost 30 feet high. Big stone fireplace in one end of it. Of course, doors and windows all through it. Big porch off to one side. And I said, man, this is something else. This is amazing. And he said, could you use it? And I guess I looked kind of startled, and I said, we sure could. He said, it's yours. Well, that started the process. Today, Anchor Baptist Church and Ministries received a building permit to take down the dining hall at Camp Buck in Whitewater and relocate it to the field beside of our warehouse in Pisgah Forest. And we say to God, be the glory. It is an amazing building. It was built using galvanized bolts, and it's post and beam construction. And so every bit of it is bolted together with these massive big bolts. We've got the original engineer who built it up there. We consulted with him. We brought in a structural engineer from Asheville to talk about taking it down. And he made the statement. He said, if there was ever a building that was constructed that could be taken down, he said, it was this one. He said, it's amazing that this building, I mean, that was never the plan, but said this building can easily be taken down. It's just, here's how you have to do it. So he drew a demolition plan of how it's going to be done. We've had mechanical engineers has been the Sims engineering group. The structural engineers, Metlock out of Asheville, Metlock Engineering. And then our architect has been Rich Worley. And so these three have worked together with the original engineer who built the building, who drew it initially. We've worked with a number of people and a number of organizations and a number of agencies and the health department, the inspections department, and all the other people. And by the great grace of God today, we got the green light that it is approved. And so it is just a thrill to our heart to announce that we're going to be building another building here at Anchor. We're recycling a building. We're going to recycle a very large building. We're taking it apart. We're bringing it here, and we're putting it back together. And Brother Anthony Roberts of AR Construction, they are our general contractors, and they're going to be coming in, and they're going to be supervising the taking down, and they'll be handling that portion of it. And then we'll, of course, put a slab in down here, and it'll cure, and then we'll begin to put it back up as time allows. And so When it's done, we'll have 6,600 square feet. It will have a walk-in cooler with a freezer and a kitchen that goes all the way across the back of the building. We'll have a serving window that goes between that and the main area. It'll have a stainless steel hood with fire suppression, commercial oven. It'll have, you know, quite a bit of stainless steel in the kitchen. It has twin restrooms on either side to accommodate a correct number, and I think three stalls per side plus full showers. We're putting in full handicap showers, and that will take care of our campground here. And the campground, of course, around the building. We'll have campsites that will expand around the building. It'll have its own, it comes with its own ice maker. It comes with water heaters and all the other things. And yesterday I mentioned about the solar panels. We got up here on site this morning, my guys did. I didn't realize that those solar panels were stacked too deep. So I said yesterday 20-something, it's 40-something. 40-something solar panels, and everything goes. A hot water system, the water heaters, the pumps, the controllers, the inverters, all of it. The only thing it doesn't have is batteries. And so we've got Lamar Owen, our electrical engineer. He's designed one up at Perry, and so he's going to work with us on that. We are going to rig it for a generator. It will not have one initially. We don't have the money, but we will wire it for one. And basically, it will become our shelter in the event of a disaster. It will seat, according to the drawings, it will seat 288 people sitting at tables facing one another with ample room to serve and even to have a buffet out on the floor. Restaurant rooms and everything, all of that, and then handicap parking, all of that to suffice that number. And so it will eventually have a fireplace in one end, and it's going to be a unique design. It's going to look something like a barn. We're going to use some rough lumber on the inside. We're going to possibly use some rough lumber on the outside. It has what's called a clear story up in the very top of it that has windows all the way across. And they even have electric motors on them that you can flip a switch and it'll open the windows if it gets warm. It will not be air conditioned in the main portion, but it has a big exhaust fan. And instead of using windows down the sides, we're using glass roll-up doors. And so you'll be able to roll the doors up and turn it into a giant picnic shed that people can walk in and out of without going through the doors. It has a 10-foot apron all the way around the outside. And so we're very excited about it. And it's going to be a while. And of course, it's going to be a while before we can get it put back up. But because we're reusing almost everything, it's going to keep our cost to a minimal. And so the church is going to be able to take care of that. And so we're very excited about it. And that's what I've been doing in my spare time for the past 6 months or so. We've spent quite a bit of time, and we're very excited about that, and very thankful for how the Lord has blessed us. And to get the permits today, that means the green light to move forward. And so again, we're very, very thankful for that. And very blessed. That's the one piece of the puzzle that we don't have here. We can seat about 300 in the sanctuary without getting chairs out. We can have about 300 in Sunday school. That's about what it's designed for. But we can only seat about 175 in the fellowship hall. That's all we can seat. And, of course, in these days, your fellowship hall is one of your biggest areas, and especially when you have events, funerals, weddings, things of that nature. And so by adding this building, this will be the last building we'll be able to add on this property unless we were to get, you know, public utility sewer in here. But we're very hopeful and very excited about making all this come together. And I try to tell you, I don't I don't tell you much about church life on purpose, because God blesses our church in so many ways. I share with them about things about ministry, and when it's to others and for others, and we try to keep that focus. But occasionally, I just can't help it. I've got to stop and say, hallelujah. Do you realize what the Lord has done? The Lord has done it. There ain't a doubt in the world that the Lord has done all of this. And so it's Him. It's not us. It's Him. And we are very, very grateful for how the Lord has blessed us. Amen. To God be the glory, for sure. All right. Well, let me share some other things with you if I can this afternoon, okay? There's a lot going on. It's not all good. No, there's a lot of junk going on. And I don't know how much I want to get into, just to be fair with you. I'm in a pretty good mood, and I just about hate to so spoil it. But I don't know if you've seen this or not. I have not followed it. But we're talking about, let's talk about agriculture for a moment, okay? There is an agriculture commodity research group, and they are saying that there could be disruptions in the cereal market. This is what they're saying, that there is dwindling supplies and high prices. So let me just drop back and tell you that bowl of cereal that we grab as a quick breakfast, cheaper than getting a biscuit, maybe not for long. There's been a drought in the North American oat fields. We have had the lowest harvest for cereal grains in years. Prices have now hit record highs, and they're calling it breakfast inflation is imminent. Scorching heat waves in Canada oat fields cut production to an 11-year low this year. They are the biggest exporter of oats, and it ships most of it to the United States. We're the largest consumer of Canadian oats. And so there is a new record high been set in the oat market, futures trading, and that will be showing up in a breakfast bowl near you if things continue the way that they're going. They, according to Bloomberg, now this is what Bloomberg said about this, the situation for North American farmers was so dire that in the summer, that many cut their losses and harvested damaged plants to be sold as feed for animals rather than try to wait to send it to harvest. So record prices and dwindling supplies. Cereals, oatmeals, granola bars, you know, those sorts of things. The Ag Commodity Research Center said Cheerios is the U.S. most popular cereal, is made of entirely of oats. There's no substitute for the ingredient. You can't make Cheerios out of barley. And they have, none of these people, General Mills, Nature Valley, Quaker Oats, none of these people have announced price increases. But they may very well be doing that soon. And they're calling it shrinkflation. There is a group, the Oatly Group, and it's in Alberta. It's the world's largest oat milk company. Says they're able to source in the Baltics and other countries in addition to Canada to mitigate soaring prices. And said as for smaller North American oat milk producers, they could be forced to raise their prices. Now don't listen, I don't want to hear this. Another popular breakfast food facing higher prices is sugary donuts, according to Krispy Kreme Incorporated. Don't mess with my Krispy Kreme, come on now. They recently warned that ingredients such as flour, butter, milk, oil, and sugar are forcing the company to raise prices. Global food prices rose to a new decade high last month, according to the United Nations Index, and breakfast foods might soon be the latest casualty of the soaring food inflation impacting the working poor the hardest, because the working poor eat cereal for breakfast. And it may not just be the breakfast for champions, it may be the breakfast for folks that, cornflakes, they didn't mention corn. And I didn't even look at the commodities report today to see where we are. You can usually tell here, well, I don't even know if I can get it up at this point. I doubt if I can. Well, anyway, maybe I can. Let's see if I can get it. I don't even know how to get that. I tell you, we got so many buttons in here. You can't imagine. And how can I get to that one? No, I can't get it in there. Okay. Well, I don't think I can speak it, so I don't think I can get it to go in there. So anyway, I'll try to brush up some more on that on tomorrow. But when it comes to the commodities market, commodities have been pretty basic. Well, what I'm saying is, honey, when if we get shortages on Krispy Kreme, I mean, it's serious, you know? I ain't lying to you. That's just good all the way around. Update on Brother Ben Carper. Brother Ben Carper has had surgery most of the day today. He's doing good. The surgeon told Ben's appendix and his intestines was attached. The appendix was ruptured. So either it ruptured and attached to the intestine, or something happened to the intestine and attached to the appendix, making it rupture. Don't know exactly what happened, but he removed the appendix. Said everything else looks good. And he'll have a nasal tube for a couple of days, and they will have him up and walking soon. So Dr. Ben Carper undergoing major bowel surgery today. Thank you. Thank you. And for praying for him, okay? Thank you for praying for him. Somebody's asking about Lake Mead and the record low levels of its affecting electric and water sources out west. My daughter and son-in-law were out there just a few weeks ago, and it is at an all-time. And the drought is just, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm very serious. It's, it's pretty bad. Somebody says that'll affect the wheat harvest, flour, bread. Probably. Said if it affects grits, that would be a disaster. Wouldn't it, though, in the South? Gracious. Can you imagine that? Yeah, no grits. Oh, goodness. And what'll it do for the free breakfast for school-aged children? Yeah, what will it do? I don't know. And I don't know. So, but here's the issue, folks. NAFTA, it was primarily manufacturing. But NAFTA was more than manufacturing, because we began to outsource everything. And the far left greenies want America to be a national park. And they want all the pigs and cows and chickens and all the other stinky things to live somewhere else. And then, of course, they don't eat those things. They just eat tofu. But anyway, they don't want us to eat those things. So bottom line is that America can no longer feed itself. At one time, we fed the world. And now, without imports, we cannot feed ourselves. And so we're in trouble. Not only can we not feed ourselves, there's a whole lot of things we can't do for ourselves because we took it offshore. Thanks to Bill Clinton and George H. Bush, he pushed NAFTA. Bill Clinton pushed NAFTA. Rush Limbaugh pushed NAFTA. I was against NAFTA from the day one, talked about it, fought against it, passed anyway. And sure enough, the only thing Ross Perot was ever right about in his life, Ross Perot said, when you pass that, there's going to be a large swishing sound at the border of Texas. It's going to be American jobs going south. And you know what? He was right. I've been to the factories. They straight piping stuff into the Rio Grande. They got smokestacks. You can see them from the American side. just boiling smokestacks in Mexico because they're not under the same rules we're under. Oh, yeah, we did it to ourselves. And a lot of it was taxes. A lot of it was environmental. How you think that it's okay for Mexico to pollute, but America can't pollute. We can lose jobs and lose whole factories because America can't pollute, but they can move it across the border and pollute and all the air blows back on us. Now, how does that make sense? But that's what happened. That's what happened. The Al Gores of this world pushed all of this. And by the way, he's still not happy because gas is not $5 a gallon. They want it to be. And it's not going to be long. It's $3-something now. It's going to be long. Still climbing. Yeah. And there's a program this year, and I still have not been able to nail it down. But where there's smoke, there's fire, and I'm pretty sure it happened. Under one of the COVID programs, and I don't know exactly how, we paid American farmers not to plant. Or possibly to plow it under. And you say, was that where it was intended? I don't know. But that was the bottom line. The bottom line was that if you, because you lost your market or whatever cause of COVID, you could get all this tax relief and all of this money, COVID money, and the farmers waited out, and they were better off to plow the crop under than they were to bring it to market and take a chance. So they plowed it under and claimed COVID money, and there was no crop put in. I'm not making it up. And I don't know how widespread it is, and I'm having a trouble collaborating it. Somebody said, well, I saw it on the internet. I did too, but I'm talking about, if you notice, I try not to just bring up things he said, she said, they said. I try to go straight to the source and give you who the source was. And so if it's wrong, it's them. But just saying that as it stands right now, I've not been able to collaborate everything that I've heard and what I've think to be true about some of the fallout from that mess. Who would have thought that given families who lost their jobs to COVID, who would have thought that they would keep them home for over a year, pay them to stay home, and they could make more money at home than they could working, and now America has a huge labor shortage, and now we have a huge product shortage because nobody's working. You see what happened? We're paying young people. We're teaching them not to work, and we're rewarding them not to work. Do you see how crazy that is? Oh, it is crazy. Okay. A mail order, I didn't place that order. Sorry. We're in trouble. Being kneecapped. Oh, yeah, we're in trouble. And people don't understand how much of in trouble we are. I'm just going to say this very quickly. You don't need to panic, but you need to do to start buying some extra groceries up. Buy what you like. Buy what you eat. No need to buy truckloads. Just buy extra. Okay? Quit going to the grocery store every day. Get your groceries once a week like we used to when you got paid on Friday. Go get your groceries. The difference is, instead of spending the money eating out because you can't get in a restaurant anyway because there's nobody there to wait on you, nobody there to cook. Restaurants working at one-third capacity if they're open at all, 2 and 3 hour waits. And the people that are there are just slammed, so they won't care if we tell you don't eat out. Take the 40, 50 bucks you'd eat out on and buy extra groceries. Get you some fuel put back, just jugs full. If you're putting food in refrigerators and freezers and you're storing it that way, make sure that you have a secondary power source, okay, with some ample fuel. Get you some small bills, 20s particularly, and keep some cash on hand. Your credit card will be worthless in a number of different scenarios. You won't be able to Listen, all I have to do is just do another close down lockdown. There won't be enough people to even open the banks, and so therefore you can't get your money out. And with all the internet issues we've been having, with all the problems we've been having, it's number one disaster plans, cash on hand. Everybody needs cash on hand. Medicine, if you're dependent upon medicine, your medicine you have to have, you need to start filling it as soon as possible. You find out how long it'll take. In other words, you say, well, I got to wait till I run out. No, you don't. No, you don't. Depends on your insurance, depends on what you're doing, but you do not have to wait till you run out. There's 3 or 4 days grace in there, and they go off when you pick it up. So if you order it and time it just right, pick it up, and over a period of 2 or 3 months, you'll get a little bit ahead. Don't be living out of the pill bottle, and today's your last pill, and then go get it refilled. Don't do that. Number one, there's been some shortages of some of the popular drugs in the drugstores. Secondly, again, we don't know if the drugstores are going to be open. You know, just depending on how the shortages go and what happens, and it depends on a lot of things. Heat source. What is your heat source? What is your heat source? Is it firewood? What is it? What is your heat source? Gas, make sure you got plenty. What's your heat source? You need a heat source that you can rely on if the power goes off. You need information source you can rely on if the internet goes down. Oh, well, I've got a smartphone and it does everything. Hear me. Listen to me. The other day, about 2 weeks ago, today, was it 2 weeks ago today? Verizon was worthless all day. You couldn't do nothing with it. They had a East Coast blackout, and we were one of the worst hit areas. Verizon was a mess. So, and cash, I'm telling you guys, cash, but not hundreds, not 50s, 20s. Why 20s, preacher? Well, ones take too much room. Fives won't buy nothing. 20, I can carry $20. If they can't give me, if I go in a convenience store and they can't give change, no problem. I can carry $20 worth. I guarantee you I can carry $20 worth. $20 bills. And get $20 worth of gas, $20 bills. Yep, I'm telling you, $20 bills. You need those. You need to put some back. Well, I'm afraid to keep money in the house. Well, dig a hole and put it in the yard. I don't know. Just you need some cash. Quit living on the debit card, the credit card. Every time we have a major disaster, those things aren't worth. I mean, they're not good for anything. I'm telling you, been to too many of them. What amount of cash? Let me ask you this. Let's just go out and let's swing for the fence and say, okay, what if they were to announce that in Greenville, South Carolina, there'd be no internet for 3 weeks and no power for 3 weeks? Now what? So I think FEMA suggests that you need to have at least 3 months savings in the bank to live on. Do you need 3 months of cash? I don't know that I'd go quite that far, but let's just, 3 weeks is not unusual. I mean, it's not unheard of. It's happened here. Remember in 2004 in the twin hurricanes? You remember that? We had power out on some of the top of these ridges 3 weeks. It happened. Now, granted, it didn't happen down in the valley as much, but it could. Okay? And even without a natural disaster, all it takes is a sunstorm or a sabotage, and we're toast as far as, because you know if the machine's not working in the bank, you can't get nothing out of the bank, and if those machines don't work, you can't do business anywhere. So just rule of thumb, I'd go with a month. Have a month's worth of cash on hand that you can live on. And that would, I mean, more is better, but just saying, a month is a, and don't put it all in one place. Put it different places. Don't put it all in the house in case the house burns down. Put it in different places. Yep. Put it in unusual places. Put it in places people wouldn't think to look. You need it. Everybody needs it. Somebody said, well, I can't afford that. I live week to week. That's my point. We got to stop it. We got to stop living week to week. We've got to stop that, okay? Things are too shaky right now to live like that. And as God's people, listen, we're going to be raptured. We're not going through the Great Tribulation. But listen, it may get pretty dark and cloudy before we leave here. Matter of fact, it's pretty dark right now, isn't it? Just looking at the whole thing. It's pretty dark right now. So, just saying, I'm not a prepper. I am not a prepper. Never have been. No, sir. Now, having said that, FEMA says that you should have 3 weeks worth of groceries at all times. FEMA says that. Go to the FEMA preparedness website and see what they tell you. They're saying a lot more than I'm saying. And this is the federal government warning you. A backpack where you can grab it and leave with copies of all your documents in case your house burns. Yeah, a quick snatch satchel that you can grab it and change locations and still survive. What if your house caught fire? What are you going to do? You know, your credit cards are in there, and your numbers that were on the credit cards, the number to call to cancel the credit cards on the back of the credit card that's now melted. And all your bills are gone. So now what do you do? Oh, it's a nightmare to try to get all that back. That's why you make, and today there's no excuse, make copies of it. Just make photocopy it all. Put it in a folder. Put it in a book. I mean, one other thing, and I'll talk about this later. You need a drop dead book. Well, that don't sound very pretty. Well, you need a drop dead book. You need a book put in a safe place that if you were to drop dead right now, it's everything that your loved ones would need to know. Everything that they would need to know. It does not have to be the actual documents. They can be in a safe. They can be in a safe deposit box, but there needs to be a photocopy of it in the drop dead book with clear instructions on the front of each page telling what it is and what it does and where it's at and how to get to it. And you tell your loved ones where the drop dead book's at. As a matter of fact, you might want to give them one to take off site. I'm very serious. You walk through everything you want to walk through. And did you know that if you put it in a secure location with other valuable documents, some judges will recognize that as a legal last will and testament? They sure will, because it expresses your wishes. Even though it's not drawn up by a lawyer, and even though it's not notarized, witnessed, or even sometimes signed. But if it's obvious and evident that this is your doing and that you wanted it done this way, some judges will uphold that. Best thing to do is have a will and have it in the drop dead book. And then have all the pieces of the puzzle laid out in the drop dead book. Everybody needs a drop dead book, because you never know when you're going to drop dead. So, preacher, that's a terrible thing to say. Well, friend, we're all leaving here. You can't stay here. Ain't nobody staying here. We're all leaving here. And by the way, you don't have to go to heaven. No, you don't have to go. But you can't stay here. Ain't nobody staying here, friend. Everybody's leaving. Some of us going to heaven through and by Christ Jesus. How about you? If you don't have a regular place to attend on Wednesday night, let me invite you, not to Anchor, but to the Rosman High School Football Stadium. Tonight, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is putting on the Field of Faith. They will feed you a free supper. They will have a speaker, and it'll be a good time. Okay? It'll be a good time. Tonight, Rosman High School, I think 7 is when it starts. Okay? I got to go. I got to go change for church. I got to be back to preach at 7. Thank you so much for being with us. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you will be done. And Lord, we're praying and asking for all of these things before us. Lord, you know, and I'm praying, God, that you would get glory. Help us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And Lord, thank you for this building that's been given. Thank you, Lord, for how you've blessed us again and again. We give you glory for it all. Help us to be good stewards of what you've entrusted us with. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.